All right, we're going to the seventh chapter of John again. Going back to the 14th verse. And it was already in the middle of the feast, and Jesus went up to the temple and taught. The Jews then were marveling, saying, "How does this man know letters, not having learned?" The word letters here actually is a technical term that refers to the law as such. In other words, a man might be a very well-trained person in other respects, and yet if he were not trained in the law, they would use this expression. Like a man who might be an engineer, might be a very good engineer, or might be a professor of philosophy, or something like that, and yet would not be schooled in theology, you see. So, well, according to the Pharisees, if you didn't know the law, you didn't know anything. So that's why they're speaking this way regarding Jesus. Jesus then answered and said, "My teaching is not mine, but the one who sent me. If one will to do his will, he shall know concerning the teaching, whether it is of God or I speak from myself." He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, this one is true, and there is not unrighteousness in him. Moses gave you the law, did he not? But no one of you does the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I have done one work, and all of you marvel. For this reason, Moses gave to you circumcision. Not that it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, in order that he may not break the law of Moses, now why are you angry with me because I make a man completely whole on the Sabbath? Judge not according to appearances, but judge just judgment, righteous judgment." Certain of the Jerusalemites then were speaking, saying, "Is this not the one whom they seek to kill?" Interesting, Jesus had said, "You're trying to kill me," and they said, "You're crazy, who's trying to kill you?" Then a little later on they said, "Isn't this the one they're trying to kill?" So they were contradicting themselves. It says, "And behold, he speaks boldly, and no one says anything. Do the chief priests know indeed, or do the rulers know indeed that this is the Christ? But we know this man whence he is. But when Christ comes, no one shall know whence he is." Jesus then cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, "You both know me, and you know me whence I am. I have not come from myself, but the one who sent me is the true one, whom ye do not know. I know him, because I am from him, and that one has sent me." They were seeking then to ensnare him, but no one laid a hand upon him, because his hour had not yet come. And of the crowd, many believed on him, and were saying, "When Christ comes, he will certainly not do greater miracles than this man does, will he?" The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring concerning him these things, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent servants to ensnare him, or to seize him. And Jesus then said, "Yet a little while, and I am with you, and I go away to the one who sent me. You shall seek me, and you shall not find me, and where I am, you will be not be able to come." The Jews then said to themselves, "Where is this one about to go, that we shall not find him? He will certainly not go to the dispersion among the Greeks, to teach the Greeks, will he? What is this word that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am ye are not able to come? On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, even as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spake concerning the Spirit, whom they who believed were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. From the crowd, therefore, who had heard these words, they were saying, this is truly the prophet. Others were saying, this is the Christ. But some were saying, does Christ come out of Galilee? Did not the scripture say that from the seed of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was, cometh the Christ? And there was a division in the crowd on account of him. And certain of them were trying to seize him, but no one put their hand upon him. I think we'll stop there. Here is a picture of Jesus. He's standing in the crowds at the Passover feast. He is a man alone. He has only one hope of people believing him, and that is that the power of God will open their hearts to receive him. Now the question is, on what basis can one receive Christ? Now remember that they do not have a Bible to point the way. If someone came into the middle of Ojai, went up and down the street saying that he was God, he'd have a difficult time making people believe that. And even if he did some very remarkable things, people would assume he was some kind of a faker, you see. But the same problem you would have receiving someone who just walked down the streets of Ojai, the same problem you would have, these people had, receiving Jesus as God. Here's a man who came among them to say, I am God. It is natural that they're going to be skeptical of the matter. How then will he prove to them who he is? They indeed took some point from the Old Testament scriptures. They said, well, Christ is supposed to come out of Bethlehem. This man comes from Nazareth. Quite a little difference there. So there, a lot of people were naturally skeptical. And for them, Jesus breaks it down to a simple point. If anyone will to do my will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. In other words, he's saying, you'll know whether or not I'm from God if you really want to do the will of God. And in those simple terms, he gives the basic criterion for faith, not to them only, but to us today. Now, I come to you with this Bible, and I say to you, this is the Word of God. But most of you haven't really studied it in depth. You know something about it. You've read it a little bit. But you hardly would regard yourselves as authorities on the Word. You're in a lot of ways, you're at the mercy of the teacher. Because you don't really know, and you have not read other religious writings. You are not experts on religious writings to compare. Most of you have probably not read the Quran. You've probably not read the Vedas. A lot of things of religious writings you haven't read yet. And it would be a fair question. Why should we believe that this is the Word of God? That's a very fair question. Now, if my answer to you had to be, well, the best way for you to find out is to go and read the other religious writings. If I said that to you, you would leave here in discouragement, because even if you were interested in reading, the task of reading all the religious writings in the world would be pretty heavy. You know, if you had to read those before you could make a choice. So how do you really know that this is indeed the Word of God and not just something that someone has put off on you? See, your problem is the same as theirs when you get down to it. Because even if we have the Bible, how do we know? Well, Jesus gives the answer. If you will to do my will. In other words, if you come before God and say, I want to do what you want me to do. If you say that, the Spirit of God will make known to you beyond your reason what the truth is. And it'll come with conviction to you. I happen to have been out there and read that other stuff. And I've spent many, many years reading it. And I come back to you with the point that if you read it, you're wasting your time because you don't need it. Skip all that and read this. Still, you have to take my word for that on a logical basis. So then I say to you, you're on the right track. Just lift your eyes to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know that this is true. And what will happen is that he gives you a conviction deep in your spirit. It may not conform to reason at all. You may not have many reasons for saying this is the Word of God. Now, if you want to dig back into archaeology and you want to spend a lot of time studying, you might find a lot of things that would help to confirm your belief that this is the Word of God indeed. But no matter how much archaeological evidence you uncover, to say that this book was written indeed authentically by the apostles of old, by the early church, even proving that, there's quite a leap between saying this was written by the apostles and saying that the apostles were inspired by God. That's quite a leap. For the most part, the Bible's pretty authentic. Any archaeologist or anyone who has studied the scripture from an historical point of view will tell you that the evidence is pretty strong that this was exactly as the early apostles wrote it, and in the Old Testament as the Jews and prophets wrote that. It's an authentic book. It has stood up over hundreds and hundreds of years, almost thousands, not quite, but it has stood up over many hundreds of years. If it were a fake, it wouldn't have stood up this long. This has been a very, very successful expression of truth, and the people who read it find it to be quite satisfactory. But with all of that, I still have to say to you, the only way you can really be convinced of the truth is that it speaks to your heart. Now, after you have committed yourself to Christ, you will find that there are many ways that he comes through to confirm your faith. However, there are many times that you more or less have to walk in the darkness. You have no outward evidences. You may be going through a period of trial where the Lord does not seem very near to you at all. You reach out for him. You can't seem to sense his presence. That would be a period of darkness in your life. And what I have to say to you is that Christ himself carries you across these dark chasms, through these dark tunnels. And it does not depend upon your expression of faith or how you feel about it. It depends only on the faithfulness of God. You do not need to be insecure in the feeling that if you don't hold on to your faith, the Lord's going to let go of you, because he doesn't let go of you. He sustains you in these dark periods. Now, what then is the basis? How can we get God's help like that? Why is it that in a room full of people, some believe and some don't? The answer is that there are those who want to follow God if they can. They would like to know. Their will is to find the truth. They may come at it in a very, sometimes even a haphazard way. But at least their desire is to know the truth. And I remind you of one that I mentioned this to. a man, a businessman who was very, very skeptical, and he said that he really didn't have time to read all the literature, which I couldn't understand. He said, I have a business to run, I just haven't got time to pursue this matter that deeply. So I told him that he ought to just tell the Lord that. I said, why don't you just tell the Lord that? Say, look, I'd like to know you, but I don't have much time with my business pressures to do it, and see what happens. Well, that was sort of a haphazard way, just sort of, well, all right, I'll do that, you see, which he did, apparently. And this now has been about, a year at least since that episode, and he is very strongly identified with Christ. Really came to know the Lord very deeply, very strongly, but it was by the work of the Spirit within him. He made a move toward God, and God moved toward him. So I can only say to you tonight that those people you talk to about their soul, don't feel that you're the one that has to bring them along or to prove God to them or to prove the Bible to them. Just give them the witness of what you have in your heart, if the Lord gives you that opportunity and you feel that you want to take it. I'm not pressing you in the matter, but I'm just saying when you're talking to someone, your friends or people that you come across, and you're trying to give them a word of witness, just tell it like it is, you know, and just tell them what your faith is and commit them to Christ and say, now, if you really want to be part of this, I can't prove it to you, but why don't you ask the Lord about that? I remember an experience that happened to a friend of mine up in San Francisco in the old days of the Haight-Ashbury paradise up there. The paradise is lost now, but this fellow was roaming the streets. And this fellow called Hippie John was following the teachings of Mahar Baba, which is one of the Oriental gurus. This person was witnessing to him on the street there, and he was giving him all the, Hippie John was giving all the reasons why he believed as he did. So this person said to him, well, you know, what you really ought to do is ask God who is right, Mahar Baba or Jesus Christ. And Hippie John said, I decided to do that. And he asked, he said, all right, God, who is right, Jesus Christ or Mahar Baba? And in ways I don't know, he came almost immediately to some light on it. In fact, I think he went into a coffee house or something, and someone started talking to him, and immediately it became clear to him that Jesus Christ was God, in fact, and not Mahar Baba. So he threw that over and became a Christian. Now, I say to you that you can, with great confidence, tell people to ask the Lord to show them the truth. He has lots of ways of showing that truth to them. This is why Jesus said to the people, if you will to do God's will, he'll show you the truth. And I say that to you tonight in your position, which is a very precarious one, because there are so many, many different avenues of faith that are presented to you, many different ways of going about it. While there is some latitude in terms of your particular kind of personal faith, there are some rather stringent criteria in the Scripture. One, of course, is that in order to find God, you must come through Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. But in these days, there are lots of different methods and modes, and people are getting confused because there's so many different angles. And I say to you that all you can do is just say, now, Lord, you just show me what is right. I want to do what's right. You're going to have to show me, because I'm really not able to determine who is right. If you come to a meeting like this, I would heartily urge you to ask the Lord, say, now, Lord, is that fellow right? You let me know if you really think that this is the way to go. Is he telling me the truth? Is he giving me the word? And if you don't think he is, if the Lord seems to witness to you that I'm not, you should run from this place. Never come back. But ask the Lord about it. If you have any question, any doubt about it, just say, Lord, you show me. Is this right? Is this the thing you want? And he has ways of indicating that to you. There's some people that the Lord has kind of dragged by the back of their neck into the meeting and held them there. They've asked about it, and I've had people say to me, you know, well, I didn't like you at all, and I didn't want to go back, but the Lord brought me back, you know. So it's a good thing to ask the Lord, because after all, what do we know? We're just human beings on the earth. Our brain can be scrambled like anybody else's, you know. You just commit it to Christ. And, of course, a good way to determine which path to follow is, of course, to follow the Scripture. Now, a lot of people say, well, we believe the Bible, too. But the question is, where does the teaching that they're giving you come from? If somebody says to you, well, this is the way to go to be really right with the Lord, ask yourself, well, is that really what the Bible says? Because a lot of the things that people tell you you have to do, the Bible never said that. That's come out of the traditions of the church. A lot of pastors that have only talked about their traditions, they don't really know that much about the Bible. They've kept mouthing what they've learned from their seminary course and from their church leaders, so all they're telling you is their particular view. And they might give you a proof text or two, but I will say that if you will just sit down with a word, or if a pastor will take the Scripture and go through it line by line and paragraph by paragraph, just like we do here. You see, we've combed through this Bible pretty thoroughly. And over the period of years, some people have been in our meetings for maybe 20, 25 years. And over that length of time, they've got a pretty thorough knowledge of the Bible, because we've been over many, many books of the Bible. On my part, whereas not everybody gets every one of the books, I've been doing it. I've been sitting in a living room going through the Greek Testament for about 30 years. I mean, in terms of actual Bible study, I've been studying it for probably 40 years. Now, I'm not going to tell you something that's contrary to the Bible. And I'm not going to tell you what the Bible doesn't tell you. Two ways to go, you see. Preachers can either talk to you about things the Bible doesn't tell you, or they can say things that are contrary to the Word because they don't know what the Word says. And there's just an awful lot of ignorance in the church today. A lot of the preaching is just on a topic. The preacher takes a topic, you know. Today, this Sunday, it's on giving. Next Sunday, it's on soul winning. The following Sunday, it's on responsibility to the church and whatnot. You know, one thing after another. The only way you're going to really know what God says is to know what the Bible says. So, I wouldn't be here if I were talking to you about my own views. I would not come this distance to just give you my educated opinion about what Christianity is. If I did not have the conviction that I was giving you the Word of God, I wouldn't be here. I have no interest in reputation, glory, fame, money, anything else. That's not, of course, I wouldn't be here if I was interested in those things, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in getting the Word of God out to the people. To that end, I can't trust myself to give you a nice topical sermon. All I can do is take the Bible and go down a word at a time, tell you what it says. If I do not say a lot of things that others are saying, it's because they aren't here, so I can't talk to you about it. If the Bible doesn't talk about it, I don't talk about it. You have to guess, do your own guessing on it. I'm not going to guess for you, because that's all I'd be doing is guessing. All right, so that's the first place to drive your stake and say, Lord, I want to know what the Bible says. Lead me in that direction. So my constant concern to you is that you cultivate your fellowship with Christ and let Him tell you what He wants you to do. And you'll know. Believe me, you'll know. You may not always want to do it, but you'll know. You may not be as much a spiritual giant. I'm putting that in quotes. I really don't. I'm being sarcastic. You may not be as much a spiritual giant as this pious soul over here. But whatever you have is going to be real. going to be you. I mean, coming from within. Not some cloak you put on from without to make you look good. Everybody say, oh my, isn't that a wonderful saint of God over there? And at that particular time, down deep inside, they're anything but. I've seen some pretty high people in high places that do not look so good when you get up close. So I'm constantly concerned that you are genuine. Whatever you are in the body of believers when you're out with them is the same that you are when you're home. That's what you want to go for. It may not be so great, but at least it's genuine. And it's consistent. You're not hypocritical about it. So I know that if you will focus on Christ, you will not need the law. Because the Spirit of Christ in you will lead you. And far from being careless about things, you'll be even more sensitive to what the Lord wants. If I give you some rules, I might miss something and let you off the hook. The Lord won't let you off the hook. But when he gets through with you, you'll want to do it. You know, you'll really want to do what he wants you to do. Your problem will probably more be concern that you aren't doing your best rather than concern that you're doing too much. Well, this is the thrust that Jesus makes here. He says, Moses gave you law and you're not even keeping it. How often you hear ministers say, well, now this is what we ought to do. But, of course, I'm speaking to myself, too. I ought to do it, too. And I told you before, I've said this several times. If he's been in the ministry for 20 or 30 years and he's still not doing it, then how come he's laying it on the people? So it's a very important point. He better be speaking to them a brand of faith they can live by, not something up in the clouds that he's hoping they'll get to sometime. I remember a situation that, in fact, one of the persons that said about me, you know, that I tell people just believe in Jesus and then let them do what they want to. This fellow was, who was kind of upset by that, was involved in smoking. And he was telling me all these things, you know, that we ought to do. And of course he says, this is my weakness. I'm still smoking. Puff, 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 puff. And you know, I'm saying, well, see, you talk a great show there, you know. You're telling me that I'm too lenient on the people. What are you doing? You know, you got all the rules, but no ability to follow them. I never worry about that matter of cigarettes. I think when the Lord is ready to deal with somebody on it, he'll deal with them. I don't use that as any kind of a thing because that's personal. It's something that they're not going to do it because I say so. I want them to do it because the Lord says so. What I think doesn't make any difference. If they think it's all right, and if they think the Lord lets them get away with that, that's up to them. It's not for me to say. Maybe they got deeper problems than that they've got to work on. The Lord's not going to bother them about that because they got some other things that are more important. All of it boils down to a simple point. The whole thrust of your faith is being identified with Jesus Christ. It is not being religious. I was saying to someone today, it's like a family situation. Suppose my son comes to me every day saying, oh, Dad, how can I be a better Morsi? Oh, Dad, I just want to be a better Morsi. And I'm going to get tired of that. I'm going to say, look, just go out and live. Just do your thing. Don't worry about it. You are a Morsi. Don't worry about it. This is the way people are functioning. Oh, how can I be more spiritual? And I say to them, don't try to be more spiritual, just live. You're the Lord's child, fine. Go do your work. Thank you, Lord, I'm your child. Now, as you associate with Christ, you're going to find the ways to please him. But don't make a big deal out of it. Your job is not to be spiritual. Your job or your life is to live with Christ. And you will be amazed how much he will change you inside over the years on that kind of a basis. How do I know this is true? I've been moving down this road for 30 or more years. I know. I've seen the end and the beginning of this. I've seen people start way off here in the left field, and I've watched the Spirit bring them into a vital relationship with Christ. Their attitudes change. They're not just putting on a phony cloak, you see. Their whole attitude changes. They're doing whatever they want to. But what they want to do is what the Lord wants them to do. You see that? But it isn't something that happens in a minute, overnight. It's something that you grow with. You grow in the Lord. It's growth. So we don't hand people a pair of stilts, you know, at the door and say, now you suddenly are big. A lot of times that's the way it goes in the church, you know. Sometimes people think that they're going to go down to the altar and they're going to have 1 minute. The Lord's going to hand them a pair of stilts and they'll climb on and off they go. That's the easy way, you know. No, you got to live it out. You wouldn't know what to do with it. If you were that good, you wouldn't know how to act, you know. If the Lord gives you power, you got to have the capacity to handle it. I hear people come up to the altar, oh, Lord, give me the power, you know. I don't know what they're going to do with it if they've got it. See? They won't know how to use it. It's like putting a kid in a Cadillac. You won't know what to do with it, you know. People want to be these great spiritual giants, but I'll tell you something. If you are at the place that you're talking about, your responsibilities are going to be so much you can't handle them. See, the Lord has to take you slowly, step at a time. You just focus on Christ. I'll guarantee that point to you. Absolutely, 100% money back guaranteed.